1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New Yorkers push back after masked ICE agents come to town. At least one protester was arrested amid the pushing and shoving as street vendors were taken into custody. CBS News New York's Naveen Dalawali.
What began as a planned enforcement action by federal agents erupted into chaos on Canal Street Tuesday afternoon. A scene of shouting and pushing as crowds yelled at ICE agents.
You should be disgusted with yourself.
The Department of Homeland Security says the federal raid was focused on cracking down on the sale of counterfeit goods involving agents from ICE, FBI, and ATF.
A TikTok influencer makes his first court appearance in L.A. today after he was shot and wounded by immigration agents. Prosecutors say he rammed them with his car as they tried to arrest him. New Orleans' top law enforcement officer tells CBS News she's expecting National Guard troops to arrive there next month. Correspondent Katie Weiss.
Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick believes that the city has already created a good relationship with National Guard leadership. So she says that this is a collaborative partnership. She says we're working together to plan their deployment and that they are not coming in to, quote, take us over.
The government shutdown has just entered day 22.
We're hopeful that this will be the week when we break out of this and the Democrats come to their senses.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune ahead of a scheduled 12th vote on a bill to end the shutdown today. But Democrats aren't backing down on health care demands for now. More furloughed federal workers are stocking up at food banks. Melissa Westbrook online in Maryland.
We don't know when it's going to end, and I need to pay my bills.
New York Times reports President Trump wants the federal government to pay him $230 million in compensation for taking him to court during his first term.
Yeah, they probably owe me a lot of money, but if I get money from our country, I'll do something nice with it, like give it to charity or give it to the White House while we restore the White House.
Vice President Vance meets with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel today. The BBC's Yoland Nels in Jerusalem.
What he's been doing really in talking to reporters is trying to downplay this idea that he's here because there is concern about the fragile ceasefire breaking down. There are really difficult concessions that the Americans are asking the Israelis to make.
Hundreds of tourists streaming through the glass pyramid at the Louvre for the first time since thieves staged a smash and grab of French crown jewels. Sunday. The museum's Apollo room that housed them is still closed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Bucks basketball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks begin their 58th season tonight in Milwaukee when they host the Wizards. Their new center, Miles Turner, says they've had a new level of energy preparing for tonight's game.
This past week of practice has been very intentional. I mean, I think it's been really good. Guys are talking up, making noise, just talking back and forth and whatnot. And I think that's how it's supposed to be, especially throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? We're intense in practice. What makes the games that much easier.
NFL, the Packers at practice for Sunday night in Pittsburgh. Matt LaFleur downplaying the matchup against the Steelers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know if many of these guys played with him. So, I mean, there's a few guys, but yeah, I think that's just for you guys. I'm going to talk about, just like we do every week, what is our blueprint and what are our keys in order to go to Pittsburgh, which is a damn good football team and a really tough, hostile environment, and try to play our best.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the mid-40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, high upper 40s to 50. It's 42 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are getting it done on a Tuesday night. Lots of fun here tonight. Great to have you with me. Jimmy Pardo is here. We will get back to Jim in just a minute. Coming up at 7:35, Rex Sykes will be here, one of the co-founders of, not the Million Man March, Conrad. Help me out again. 1 billion strong. No, 1 billion. It's 1 billion. What is it? I can't pronounce the city. In the Middle East, and now I can't, you've got it, though. All right, fine, Conrad, I'll pull it up. 1 billion strong. No, it's not it. This is driving me.
Mission 1 billion?
Mission 1 billion. They're going to tell you all about it. We've got Rocky Wagenhurst. He is a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, and Rex Sykes is the co-founder. They have a great event going on tomorrow night in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that at 7:30. Two swell guys. Our question of the night is in honor of National Back to the Future Day, what era would you travel back to? And we've got to catch up on text. We'll do that in just a bit. Let's get back to our guest, Jimmy Pardo, one of my oldest friends in the biz, so to speak. And Jim, you have such a great, you know, I don't want to say it's stream of consciousness, but you're very off the cuff, very in the moment. You have a very unique style. You can go off on a tangent and spend 10 minutes there, and it's a thing of beauty to watch. Who are your people would probably jump to the conclusion that it's Robin Williams or Jonathan Winters. And I'm sure you've been, you know, kind of influenced by them. But who else? Who's influenced your comedy?
Well, I got to admit, Jonathan Winters might be a little bit before my inspiration, you know, certainly a genius and so on. But Robin certainly is somebody. But, you know, the ones that really are at the forefront of my mind are Richard Lewis is my hero.
Yeah.
He was stream of consciousness, same deal.
Yes.
Off the top of his head. He was also a great joke writer, but Richard would also just talk about his life or his day in that the brilliant way that he would. And he's the guy that I feel like I'm most like. He's my hero. Paul Reiser is a hero. You know, Don Rickles, of course. Somebody once, I was overseas and I did a show, and somebody once said, it'll be very easy to compare Pardo to Rickles, but I think the best compliment is to say he's like Groucho.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, you know what? I'll take that. I agree with that. I think Groucho was off the top of his head, and he would quote unquote insult somebody, but even more so than Don, you knew he was kidding.
Right.
And, so I'll take all these guys, you know, whatever, however you want to, you know,
absolutely.
I think the current crop of guys that are, you know, improvising and doing quote unquote crowd work that are getting all the acclaim, I don't think they're good at it. I think that there's a craft to this, and it infuriates me to see these guys that are getting Netflix specials, like they all crowd work.
And then it's
and it's really hackneyed, easy crowd work. And it's not all that special or clever.
it's interesting because it's all like on reels. It's like, watch this comedian shut this guy down. I'm like, oh, I got to see this. And I click it. And I'm like, that's so lame. That's just clickbait. You know, and it's like, I'm sorry. That's not, it's just too much of it out there.
Agreed.
You know what there's I mean? I don't know.
And there's a new trend of that where it's like everybody's afraid to put their material online. So they all put down their crowd work. And it's like, but you don't do crowd work. Why do you want that to be what you're known for if that's not what you do? Like, it makes no sense to me. And also, like, you'll see times where a guy, you know, a comedian shuts down heckler and the heckler wins. It's like, why would you put this online?
Exactly. I know. It's maddening. I don't even click on them anymore. Now I just get a billion pictures of feet in my feed, which is always fun because I clicked on a really gross foot once.
So now you get all, is it a mixture of good and bad feet?
Some, but I'm clicking. I'm not even a foot guy, and I'm clicking on the good feet just to make sure they pop up more than the bad feet, if that makes sense.
You don't want a fungus foot. I get it.
Right. And Richard Lewis, I had the one of my first times like leaving the Midwest was to work in Florida, and I opened for him, and I remember a joke he did, and he said the babe got up to bat and pointed like, I'm going to hit a home run. That's and his joke was, that's like me saying, you know, I'm going to get an erection. And when I told this to the other comic, the comic closed his eyes and put his head down and just pointed. That made me laugh even more than with Richard Lewis, because he loved it so much. It was so beautiful. But that's a great comp, Richard Lewis, I think.
I love him. I love him, and I miss him. He was I don't want to say he was a friend, but we became very friendly towards the end of his life.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
And I was grateful for that because it's like, man, I can't believe I'm friends with the guy that I say is the reason I do stand up. That's pretty amazing.
You know, what's funny is I never saw him again after that, but he was so nice to me. And then I worked down there again with David Brenner. It was a big club. They brought in a lot of these big names, and he brought me into his dressing room and just, I thought I was in trouble. And he was just picking my brain and talking to me.
Right.
Like, two of the biggest guys in comedy were so nice to me. That kind of ruined the rest of it. Because you meet guys that were headlining that hadn't even been on TV, and they were the biggest jerks in the world. And I'm like, why can't they all be like those guys?
I will say this, that when talking to Richard, while he was nice to you in Florida, there's a reason why you never saw him again. He did not care for you. And you came up a lot. I brought you up a lot.
If he had that strong of an opinion on an opener who had been doing stand-up a year and badmouthed me, I would even respect him more somehow.
That's a good point.
I'll take that. So let me ask you this, Jim. You've got this great podcast. And I love, every once in a while, people will send me a message or whatever. Hey, heard your name on Never Not Funny. I just love that. And I feel like I'm part of this thing that's been going on forever, which is such a successful and fun podcast. You got in on the ground floor, but what would you be doing if you hadn't done that? Would you be doing more stand-up? Would you have continued? Like, you're a really good host. You've done a lot of acting. Like, what would you have done?
I don't have a clue, Pete. You know what? I mean, I started the podcast in 2006, and then I got hired by Conan in 2009. So my life kind of became just in those lanes. You know, I was with Conan for 8 years. 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
And then the podcast is going on now 20 years. And so I don't know the answer to that because I kind of, I guess I'd be doing more. I'm happy with the amount of stand-up that I do these days. I do a nice sprinkling. I go out and I do one night. I do one show and one night in a city, and I move on to the next city, and I don't get sick of my own voice, and I enjoy it. I would hate to think that I would be lugging luggage every Thursday to the airport to have to do it. So Pete, I'll say this. I ask myself that question all the time. And the answer is I don't know. And thank God I don't have to know.
Little gratitude. Absolutely. No, that's a great answer, actually. And I appreciate the honesty. Have you been to the Sioux Plantation recently?
Well, they all closed during the lockdown.
Oh, come on.
Because buffets were seen as something like, you know, you can't share the ladle.
Right.
And that. And, but I don't understand it. It's got a built-in sneeze guard. It's got the mask. The mask is already there for you.
What do they want?
I don't know. I think it was an excuse for them to go out of business. I don't know if they were doing well. Man, did I love the Sioux Plantation.
I love that place. We would just sit there for hours. It was so much fun.
Who doesn't like salad and pizza slices?
We still laugh. We went to Shakey's once when we first moved there, and you know, my wife was new to LA, as was I, and you were showing us around and this great host helping us get used to the area. And we went to the Shakey's, to the buffet, and Mary sat with the plates while we went to get salad. And you said, will you please tell Mary she doesn't have to guard the plates?
But here's my takeaway from that story. First of all, we have fun. There's no question about that. B, you say I'm this great host that I'm showing you around town. I bring you to the chain restaurant Shakey's. We're in L.A. and I bring you to get a corporate pizza. Is that a good host?
Let me take you to a place it's a franchise, but it's a lot better than the one in Wisconsin or Chicago.
It was a good Shakey's.
It was a great Shakey's. They had soda.
The fried chicken was delicious.
Loved it.
Yeah, my wife hates the place, so we can't even. I can't even look at it when we drive past it. It's like because if I look at it, I'm gonna go. My body will go, hey, what about Shakey's? And I know the answer. So I just gotta have little horse blinders on.
We had a lot of the kids' birthday parties there. It was fun, but I'm laughing because your wife, when you first got together with her, she was like, why does he do this? Why does he go to Beverly Hills? Why does he like Shakey's? What is he doing?
Yeah, but she still loved me and tolerated my nonsense. We've been together now 27 years, I think it is.
Oh, that's crazy.
Very grateful.
I want her back on the show, but I don't want to be a pest. So pass
that
along,
please. No, you're not a pest.
Please.
Ask her.
I've emailed her, and she's, keeps claiming it goes to her junk box, which is fine. No, I'm kidding. I would love to have her on, and I will email her again, but I don't want I don't know. Hey, before we let you get out of here, Jim, you're a good binge watcher. You binge watching anything you could recommend?
You know what? Taskmaster is always great. You watch that on YouTube. The great, game show from England.
Oh yeah.
Hosted by Greg Davies, who I actually wrote a fan letter to. I wrote Greg Davies a fan letter saying, people here. Robin Williams once said that I had a quicker mind than him. Robin Williams said that to me.
Yeah, I remember that. That's so cool.
Honors. And I wrote Greg Davies to tell him. Just so you know that this compliment doesn't come out of nowhere. Robin Williams told me I'm the funniest mind he's ever seen. I'm telling you, you're the fastest mind I've ever seen. So understand I'm complimenting you. And he wrote back a real nice email. And it was very kind. So I love Taskmaster. And it's been months since it ended. And I'm kind of going through withdrawal about it.
Wow.
The Pit. I thought The Pit was the greatest thing I've seen on TV in ages.
A lot of people agree with you. Yeah,
care for it.
No, I watched the first episode. I'm not a huge medical drama guy. I just finished Task. I love a good cop show or a good...
Yeah, me too.
But, and my buddy Jamie is the bad guy on it. And he's great. And I just watched the finale. It was so good. But I have to go back to The Pit because I've heard so much good stuff about it.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I have never in my life... I'm a cop guy too. I'm currently watching Police Woman starring Angie Dickinson.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm binging at the moment. I don't like medical shows, and somebody said The Pit is great. The first episode is like, oh man, well, I don't know. This isn't for me. But then, man, I was all in, and now I'm jonesing for when it comes back. It was really great.
All right. I'll definitely take another look. That's great. Please don't tell anyone I called Riyad Ridya. I just go into these things where I see it once and it stays. I called it Parmesan cheese till I was in college, Jim, because my parents are the farthest thing from Italian there is.
I thought the word was catastrophe, not catastrophe. So, I once read somewhere, Pete, that if you mispronounce a word, it just means you haven't heard it. You've only read it. So you're an educated person. So I take whenever I mispronounce something, I remember that, and it makes me feel better about it.
I do because I don't watch I cannot watch Talking Heads anymore. I read all my news, but I have heard. I know what that word is. So I don't know what category that puts
Parmesan?
Me in.
Parmesan? Of course you know what that word is. You should have known what it is for years.
Parmesan. My parents still laugh. They tried to ruin me. hey, buddy, this is so much fun. You're the best.
My pleasure.
Yeah, always fun, Jim. Tell Danielle and Oliver hello, and let's talk soon, buddy.
Good luck with Rex Sykes. That's all I can say.
We'll do.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Jim. So, Jimmy, I loved his answer. He would travel back to before Clint's circumcision. I don't even know how that affects Jim, but he seems to think that that would be a better time for him, which is not a bad answer. Rex Sykes is coming up with Rocky Wagenhurst. We're going to talk about Mission 1 Billion, a great event going on tomorrow. Rex is one of the co-founders of the organization, and Rocky Wagenhurst is a TV executive at the CW in Milwaukee. So we'll have that talk in just a few minutes. When we come back, we are going to read your texts. And what am I forgetting something, Conrad? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so.
Is Jimmy Pardo coming up yet?
I think so.
Was he just on the show? All right, we'll read your texts. Maybe we'll find a funny clip. We'll do something. It's a Tuesday night at Nightlight, folks. What could be better? I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I want to hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived. And I thank God I'm alive.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
In August, Patty and Eddie of Cabins on the Lake in Friendship lost their home in a devastating fire. These two people are always the first to help others. And now it's our turn to help them. Join us for a fun benefit Saturday, November 1st from noon until 5 p.m. at Connell's Cedar Shack in Adams. Music, food, live and silent auctions with awesome prizes, 50-50s, and lots of fun. All proceeds go to assist Patty and Eddie rebuild. Join us November 1st at Connell's Cedar Shack, just south of Adams on Highway 13. You'll have a good time for a great cause.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me. It is a Tuesday night here. It's a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Oftentimes the best edition of Nightlight throughout the course of the week. We're going to get caught up with your texts in just a moment. Tonight's question is, what era would you travel back to? It is National Back to the Future Day. So that is our question. Be part of the show and let us know what you think and where you'd go. So I do these Nightlight window pictures every night, and I go out to take a picture, and these two guys are trying to get in the building. I'm like, hey man, what gives? Ready to kick some ass, right?
Yeah, of course.
Kidding, they don't pay me that much money. I'm kidding, but I'm not gonna risk bodily harm. Someone's trying to get in the building, go ahead, it's all yours, guys. There's nothing in the till. We keep no cash here. No, they were very nice guys. They are running a fishing, this is what it is, and I did some research on this. It seems legit. Very nice, guys. They're looking for volunteers. It's International Teams Fishing, the 2025 Street Fishing World Championship. Street fishing.
What is street fishing?
I guess it's like playground basketball, but for fishing. Like you fish the streets, right? It says, see international anglers fishing along the banks of the Fox River in Green Bay, City of De Pere, Village of Alloway, and Village of Ashwaubenon. Cheer on your favorite nation, all catch and release. Now, I'm an inside guy, but even I know what that means. That means you catch the fish and you throw it back. Very humane. But you can find more information if you want at www.usangling.org. www.usangling.org. It was John Knight and Mike, I have to find Mike's last name, McNett. Nice guys. Good luck with the event, guys. They will be on our nightlight fun window picture tonight. And are you a fisherman?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I can't remember the last time I went fishing.
I like. This is not a pun either, but the angle, the street fishing world championship. I don't think I could ever watch fishing either. But
do you think we can make a run at it?
I don't know. Maybe with a winning attitude, we could show up, bring our game face. We got a phone call?
Yeah, Ollie from the Northwoods.
All right, Ollie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Sound great tonight.
Well, thank you. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Well, if I could go back to the future, I would pick 1946.
Okay.
And for one reason, because then I would be born before my oldest sister, and I would actually be the oldest sister. And believe me, it was no fun being the middle sister, and I could give them some of a taste of their own medicine.
You could boss them around.
Yep.
My wife is a middle child too, Ollie. So I've heard this my whole time with her. Like, she constantly is saying that there's a National Middle Child Day. I don't know if you know that, but you should celebrate that as well. And 46. That's when I would go. Maybe we could hit a gin joint together in a different era, Ollie. That would be fun.
That sounds good.
All right.
My sister used to. I had two older sisters, and they used to take me and my little sister, and they would say, "Oh, let's play fights," and they would get each. My older sister would take me into one corner, and the other sister would take my younger sister another corner. And then they'd say, "Okay, when we ring the bell, you girls come out fighting." And we were so stupid that we'd do it, and then they'd sit there and say, "Kick her, bite her, pull her hair."
Oh, my gosh. What in the heck was happening in the Northwoods household? That's great.
Well, my dad was in the Army then, and we did have lots of great great times traveling, and so it would have been wonderful to be the older sister during that time.
Well, I wish you luck in the next life, my friend. Great phone call. Thank you so much, Ollie, as always.
All righty.
All right. Have a great night. JB Thompson, watching the radio on the stream, says a concert full of nude people doesn't happen to you often. It does not. Maybe I'm running with the wrong crowd. Because that was my comment to you earlier.
Yeah,
people,
I mean,
go to Woodstock, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by nude people.
It's a Saturday for me.
It's a Saturday? All right. Mm-hmm. I'm usually reading scripture and heading off to church then, but you guys do what you got to do. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, the 1970s, early on, the best music. We still play it on the radio. Muscle cars were top of the line. That's a great text. Thank you, Jim. Never had a muscle car. I always thought they'd be cool, though, like a Mustang or something. Steve from Florida, the 920. Conrad's dad says, the era I would love to travel back to is 1865, so I could meet my great-great-great-grandfather, Nicholas, when he bought the homestead farm in Ashford, Wisconsin. That would be Conrad's great-great-great-great-grandfather. Great-great-great-great-grandfather. That's a lot of greats. And your dad just said that's a lot of greats.
You know, this is what I would extend that, Dad. All right, this is what you go back to visit him, but then you have him invent something that he doesn't know about yet.
Right.
So that we're just loaded.
Yeah.
With money.
You're like the farm Kennedys of Wisconsin.
We invent some farm products.
I can't imagine. I would not do well on a farm. I have allergies, and I don't like hay.
I only lived there until I was like five. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you for the family history there, Steve. Appreciate that. Let's see, what else? Am I missing anything? I think I'm caught up on text, right?
My mom texted in.
Where's your mom's text? I'll let you read that because she's your mom.
Yeah, she said, love the music from Happy Days and the drive-in theaters, so I would think it would be a fun time to go back to, which I don't know what time that is, but...
It's the 50s. Happy Days was set in the 50s, filmed in the 70s, and I always thought that too, Paula. Actually, I remember watching that when I was growing up, and I thought that would be a cool, I don't know. That's a great answer. All right. It's not too late. Text us what area you would like to travel to. When we come back, we're going to talk about a really cool event put on by Mission 1 Billion. That is tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Co-founder Rex Sykes will be here and TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, Rocky Wagonhurst, who's had a really cool history, will be here too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. At least one protester arrested in New York City after masked ICE agents descend. CBS New York's Alice Gaynor.
Law enforcement sources say federal agents from ICE and other agencies were conducting raids on Chinatown streets in the Canal Street area, reportedly to arrest undocumented immigrants.
New Orleans Police Commissioner Ann Kirkpatrick tells CBS News she is expecting National Guard troops to arrive there next month. Correspondent Katie Weiss.
She said, quote, "We're working together and planning their deployment. That they're not coming in to take us over, that this is a partnership."
The New York Times reports the president wants the Justice Department to pay him $230 million for investigations during his first term in office. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
President Trump has long aired grievances about investigations into his conduct, and now he is apparently formalizing them in this form.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bucks basketball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks begin their 58th season tonight in Milwaukee when they host the Wizards. Their new center, Miles Turner, says they've had a new level of energy preparing for tonight's game.
This past week of practice has been very intentional. I mean, I think it's been really good. Guys are talking up, making noise, just talking back and forth and whatnot. And I think that's how it's supposed to be, especially throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? We're intense in practice. What makes the games that much easier.
NFL, the Packers at practice for Sunday night in Pittsburgh. Matt LaFleur downplaying the matchup against the Steelers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know if many of these guys played with him. So, I mean, there's a few guys, but yeah, I think that's just for you guys. I'm going to talk about, just like we do every week, what is our blueprint and what are our keys in order to go to Pittsburgh, which is a damn good football team and a really tough, hostile environment, and try to play our best.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Michael Fassbender will play Joe Kennedy in a new Netflix show from Chernin Entertainment. According to Variety, the show is called Kennedy and will be based on Frederick Longfellow's book, JFK, Coming of Age and the American Century. The logline for the show is a bit lengthy, but says it will reveal the intimate lives, loves, rivalries, and tragedies that shaped the most iconic dynasty in modern history and helped create the world we live in today. Beginning in the 1930s, the first season charts the improbable ascent of Joe and Rose Kennedy and their nine children, including rebellious son Jack, who struggles to escape the shadow of his golden boy older brother. Whew, it was a mouthful. The Kennedys have provided, along with a lot of tragedy, a lot of fascination from Americans. There will be 8 episodes in the first season. The series will most likely drop in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy and breezy for tonight with occasional showers and a low close to 40. We'll look for more clouds for tomorrow, a pop-up shower or two possible, and still breezy, a high in the mid-40s. A return to sunshine for Thursday and Friday, high upper 40s to 50. It's 42 right now.
What makes mystery writers tick? How do they conjure the twists and turns that leave us guessing until the last chapter? To find the answers, tune in to Masters of Mystery on WFHR AM 1320 FM 97.5, Sunday, October 26th at 9 p.m. As award-winning mystery authors Terry J. Griffith and Mindy Mejia sit down with host Rob Young before a live audience to discuss their books and their writing journeys.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself? not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trig Olson. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Back to the Future Day. It's so cool that a movie has a national day.
I mean, it's just a classic.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
But our question is, what era would you travel to? I say the late 1940s after World War II, hitting the jazz joints, maybe hitting the road like Jack Kerouac. Conrad says the medieval times. I still have no idea, but you know,
to be a knight,
to be a knight and a jester.
That Moonlight was destined to be one.
That's right. All right. Let us know. You can still get in on the fun right now. We are going to turn our attention to two swell gents who are joining us over the stream to talk about a really cool event tomorrow night in Milwaukee. It's called, the event. Well, the group is called Mission 1 Billion, a very ambitious, undertaking by co-founder Rex Sykes, and the speaker at tomorrow night's event is Rocky Wagenhurst, a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, and he has had a really lengthy, interesting career, too. They both join me now over the stream. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Doing very well, Rocky. Nice to meet you. And Rex, good to see you again, buddy.
Great to see you, my friend.
Do you guys have an era you would travel? I know you'd rather travel tomorrow night to your really cool event, but if you could travel back, where would you go?
You want to go first, Rex? Go.
I'd go back to 2039.
I'm pretty sure that's forward, that's
okay. Well, wait, where are you?
I'm in 2025 at the moment. I thought we all were.
Oh, my God, but... you're so passé.
But you could travel all the way back around, like Fonzie got his bike to make the Earth go back, you know, or Superman.
I go back to the early 70s. I think they were gritty and wonderful and magnificent in Los Angeles. I think Rocky might agree. He's from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late 60s, early 70s. You know, if you can be old enough not to get drafted in that late 60s. And
yeah,
you know, then that great. I think that was the greatest time for really television episodic stuff. You know, that movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Love it.
I wanted to be, I mean, that was my time. I was about 14. That was 1969. And if I was a little bit older, I would have loved the Brad Pitt's, you know, where he played this stunt double.
Cliff Booth,
like a star. That's what I wanted to be. I thought that would be the greatest job in the world. Fall off horses and, you know, do fights and, you know, crack whips and punch people in the face, but don't really hurt them.
That's fantastic. Go ahead, Rex.
Oh, I just wanted to say Bob Yerkes, the stuntman, was a good friend of mine. He had a stunt school. I never did it. A lot of my friends did. And I've regretted not doing Bob's program all that while. Most of the people who went through stunt programs became stunt people. I didn't want to be one at the time, but what a magnificent opportunity I passed up.
Well, magnificent opportunity for someone else. It sounds like, I'm kind of with you there, Rex.
Well, the great thing was nice, though, as you get older, you know, I'm kind of older now, when you learn how to fall. I mean, I was riding my bike the other day and going up and I kind of hit something and fell and I was surprised, nice roll and came up and just broke my phone, but that was about it. So it comes in handy later in life.
Little tuck and roll off the Schwinn varsity on PCH.
I did it.
Helps if you have knee pads and elbow pads. But
absolutely. Well, it's great to have you guys here. So let's talk about this. Rex, you reached out to me a couple weeks ago. It sounds like a really fun event. It sounds like a very interesting group. Before we talk about the event, tell us how this group came to be and what exactly your mission is with.
Well, thanks for asking, Pete. Yeah. And you know, I love you, so I appreciate you having us on.
My pleasure.
Mission 1 Billion was the brainchild of Dan Brisgell, who is my co-founder, partner. He and I had very similar goals, and that was to create essentially a program, a work in progress, a platform that would allow people. And I think, by the way, Mission 1 Billion is too small. I think we could reach Mission all billions. You know, the point is, if you remember Hands Across America, all you had to do is just make sure that you didn't break the chain, and you could stretch people all the way across the country. We can do that with everybody in the world if we wanted to. The Mission 1 Billion, the brilliant part of it was, for both of us, was we wanted an educational platform that would help support filmmakers anywhere in the world and help them produce their projects, market their projects, distribute the projects, and make money in doing so. And we wanted to do that in Wisconsin. Now that the incentives are coming in, we wanted to support filmmakers who are within the state who don't necessarily benefit from the incentives. But we applaud the incentives. We celebrate the incentives. We're glad that they're here. What Dan had added to the whole mix that said, I'm in, was he said, I want to give half of the, or I want to give a portion of the proceeds to charity for children in need. And I went, this is absolutely amazing. Not only are we doing the work that we love, but we're adding to benefiting other people. So Mission 1 Billion is about supporting filmmakers in their endeavors, helping them to profit, and also give money to charity.
That's the voice of Rex Sykes. He is one of the co-founders of Mission 1 Billion. And
we're a nonprofit.
And a nonprofit. And you can catch his movie beat on YouTube. He likes to talk movies. Rocky Wagenhurst is also here. He is a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, a vice president and general manager of the CW network. Rocky, how did you end up in Milwaukee? Are you digging it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here almost 2.5 years now, and I'm one of those TV guys. You know, I've moved all over. I started in 84, you know, in television, then moved from Sacramento, grew up in Los Angeles, started my career as a TV guy, you know, as a account exec in Sacramento, went to Denver, went back to L.A. for a while, then went back out. I've been to Bozeman. I was in Baltimore for a lot of years, working at the CBS O&O. I worked for Comcast, UPN. Always love this kind of the second, third stations in the market because it's a lot more fun, you know, than like getting that football team that's, you know, it's 5 or 6 away from the Super Bowl. It makes it a little bit more fun. And my wife was an anchor, you know, she's done it since she was 17 and she's retired now. And so we're at that point where the kids are away. And I knew the Sinclair folks that own the stations out here, CW 18 and My 24. And they said, you know, if you still want to work, I mean, if you want to go out there and a couple things, see what you can do. And came out and, you know, started to add local programming because I think that's really the thing that I think is so important for broadcasters, especially in, you know, the affiliates. You know, we get the network stuff, but, you know, really it's the community and what we serve. And I've really enjoyed Milwaukee. And, you know, I've been a Green Bay Packer fan since the 60s. I mean, how could you be a football fan and not, you know, to me, that's like Canton up there. I mean, I would rather go there and see that stadium than go see the in Canton. But, you know, and the Brewers, you know, I admit I'm a Los Angeles diehard guy, you know, Dodgers, I can't, you know, they're not quite the Dodgers I grew up watching, but, you know, they're pretty fantastic guys. And Brewers, I always say, guys, it takes a long time. You know, you almost got it. It takes a while to get used to doing it. The Dodgers go and they usually don't win. So we'll still see what happens, you know, so, you know, so it's really been great, you know, and then the Bucks, I guess they start tomorrow night. So we got that going. But I really enjoyed living in Milwaukee and the audience, and we've kind of grown this 2 stations and added a lot of high school sports and some local shows, bowling shows. We have a NASCAR local show that we're on the air. We run Bill Michaels' sports show once a week. We have a local wrestling show. So anything that's going to get local, so the folks in Milwaukee, it's something that's unique to them instead of watching just all the network stuff and game shows and stuff. So really have enjoyed it, though. Really, my time here so far has been great.
That's great. So I'm sure you're excited about tomorrow night. What is tomorrow night going to be like, you guys? Like, what can, if people do want to go, what can they expect, and how can they get more information?
Well, if I want to go before Rocky, you know, here's the cool thing. We did our first charity event in August where we gave money to Make-A-Wish Children. And so that was a kickoff event. And every month we did 4 or 5 weekly meetings, and then we did starting our monthly meetings. And last month we had Michael Seibel. He's a director. Most of his movies are between X amount of dollars and $20 million. He's done about a dozen movies, local as well as in Hollywood and in India and all over the world, and about 400 TV shows, both as a director and a DP. I'm sorry. And Rocky and Michael are alumnus from UCLA, and they go back a long way. Michael is from Wisconsin. He was born in, or he lived in Wausau for a while and then moved to the Appleton area where he is now. Like he, I go back to my home in L.A. and also in Wisconsin. So I'm not bi-coastal, but nearly bi-coastal. I'm by something, but I don't know.
Lake Michigan counts. Come on.
But Lake Michigan, L.A. But Rocky, I got to meet Rocky through Michael, and I'm so thrilled to have Rocky, because Rocky's not only an actor and a filmmaker and a media visionary, and he knows about AI, and he's a studio executive and television executive. But he brings such a wealth of experience and practical application information to each of us that we tomorrow night, October 22nd, Wednesday at Schmitty's Bar and Grill in Brookfield, Wisconsin, on Lisbon Avenue, if you want to look it up. And it's open to the public. Mission 1 Billion is an educational arm. We do workshops, seminars that are paid for. You know, people sign up, classes. I teach acting and other things. But we also have open to the public and free events. And Rocky has been gracious enough to say that he would speak tomorrow night to the public who shows up and to answer their questions about how to navigate a career. And I'll let him tell you more about that. But I'm thrilled because Rocky's just an amazing guy. I've gotten to know Rocky and I love him. So I'm thrilled that we get to have him speak. And I hope it's the first of many times. But So, Rocky, you take it away.
Yeah, Rocky, what do you teach? What do you tell people? Like, let's say all these people who don't know the first thing about this business, whether it's behind the scenes, in front of the camera, whatever. How do you even start with them?
Well, you know, it's, I mean, I laugh, you know, because Rex, I was really lucky. Michael Seibel, I was my fraternity brother at UCLA, really, really talented guy. We had another fraternity brother, Tim Moore, who had been an executive producer with Clint Eastwood, I think, from every movie he did. He was also the executive producer on that famous Patrick Swayze cult film. What's the
Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say Roadhouse.
Yeah. Oh, it's the greatest.
Good call, Pete. Good call.
The greatest film. You know, those are the kind of things that nobody went and saw when it came out, but it just, you know, kind of built its own audience. And so we had a lot of talented guys UCLA, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Woodland Hills in the 60s. And, you know, the television movie business was just kind of like what people did. You know, there was no walls up and people, you know, the big, big movie stars we didn't see, but television actors would be living up the street, you know, and it was like regular jobs. You could walk to studios. I went to UCLA thinking I was going to be a lawyer. And I guess it was my junior year, I wanted to be a litigator. So somebody said, well, take an acting class, because that way you get up and defend the world or whoever you're going to defend. And so I did that and really kind of liked it. And I got cast in a couple of plays and started doing stuff. I got a commercial agent, did some soap. I mean, it's kind of like, boy, this is $500 a day is better than going to school today. But I did end up graduating. So my parents were really proud of me for doing that. But really what started me on this whole thing is I became a tour guide at Universal Studios back in the late 70s.
I saw that in your bio. Let's pick up right there. We got to do a really short break. And you did it the smart way, Rocky. I went to law school to become an actor, and that didn't work out at all. So I think you were on the right track. Hey, Rex Sykes is here and Rocky Wagenhurst. And we're talking about a really cool event they have going on tomorrow night with Mission 1 Billion. We'll tell you more about it after this very short, very short break, folks. We're in the home stretch here. You've waited this long. Don't go anywhere. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In 2023, under pressure from election conspiracy activists, Texas and nine other red states left the multi-state cooperative called ERIC, which helped to keep state voter rolls clean. 2 years later, local election officials are asking Texas state election officials for immediate fixes to its reportedly erratic homegrown voter registration system called TEAM. Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 1070 in June 2023, authorizing state officials to create a state-run interstate voter registration cross-check system. Over 2 years later, and on the eve of the TEAM system's rollout, Vote Beat Texas reports that four organizations representing Texas election officials cited inconsistent system behavior, only intermittent and under-resourced support, and statewide training gaps. Just last month, Texas Secretary of State Jane Nelson announced agreements with nine states to share and compare voter registration data in an effort to replace the Electronic Registration Information Center's sophisticated data processing capability to identify voters who moved, died, or registered in more than one state. The Texas election officials said in their letter, "The current state of the TEAM rollout creates undue risk to voters and the integrity of election officials," and urged action before November 4th. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. Boy, it's been a fun show. We got a few minutes left here. From the 818, Bridget says, the 1950s seems like a fun time. Music, clothes, identity. Couldn't agree more, Bridget, from the 818. Great text. Thank you. We have a couple more minutes with our guests, Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst. Rocky, did you have to be an actor with a name like that?
Well, I really had no choice. I think that's kind of, you know, but Rocky Wagenhurst always sounded like there was, if you went in for audition, it sounded like there was a lot of us that would be coming in, you know, we're going to come in juggling or something, but just a little bit, just because I know we want to promote tomorrow. Yeah. And they're thinking, okay, great. You were a tour guide. What are we? Okay. If we want to get a tour guide job, but really what I really talk about is, how to be able to have both. You know, everybody always thinks, especially when they're young, well, I've got to do it all, be all creative and do movies and be TV and be an actor for the rest of my life, or, you know, or I can't, you know, Really I learned long ago, you can do as much or as little as you want. You can do both. You can have a life, you can have kids, you can, you know, get married, have a house, have a mortgage, have a real life job, but work it so you can still do stuff. And then the more stuff you can do, then less of the other job you have to do. It's not all or nothing. And I've been able to do that all my life. I've got to be in movies, TV, I've done a radio show. I've done everything and still had a really nice career along the way. You know, I think I've driven my wife a little crazy and she still likes me after 37 years. But it's really, and that's what we'll talk about tomorrow about, you know, I'm not going to teach you how to act or how to do any. I can help you teach you how to get a job, how to go about it, those kind of things in just about anything. And it's pretty applicable to everything. I always told Rex, I'm kind of like, you know, Forrest Gump. I've met all these great people. I've been on sets with Spielberg and things, right? But I just never got, you know, the shrimp.
Yeah.
I became a millionaire. Obviously, I'm still working, but that's okay. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. And I love more what people want to come and ask me about or tell me about them. Because I already know what I know. But I'd love to hear people come out and share their ideas. And really, it's more of that than it's going to be like, hey, let me talk for an hour and everybody take notes. That's not the way it works.
Well, you've got a guy here who's an open book, folks. So if you are listening and you're in the Milwaukee area, check this out tonight because Rocky is very approachable. I know Rex is very approachable. We got a text to Rocky that said, Rocky, you like Ohtani. How can you not, right? I mean, killed our Brewers.
You know, I don't care who you're rooting for. That was something
it was unbelievable.
You know, otherworldly on Friday night, you know. So
I love that you started as a tour guide, too. We lived a mile from Universal for almost 15 years, and I took the kids there all the time. It was closer than Disneyland. Such a fun thing, and that's such a great story that you started there. Rex.
We'll talk about that tomorrow night if anybody wants to, but it was one of the greatest things. I got to talk, believe it or not, for hours and hours, and they paid me. It was amazing. You know?
That tour is so much fun, too. If you're a movie nut, I highly recommend it. Rex, you want to put a bow on tomorrow night before we let you guys go?
Yeah, I'm so thrilled that Rocky's going to talk. He is a wealth of information, and he does deliver on what he says he's going to do. So I can't be more grateful to him and to you because you do a great show and you're having us on and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're my friend. And I would love you to come and talk to our group too sometime when you're not doing your show. We're going to have to figure out how to make that happen. But tomorrow
I'm going to need airfare. I'm going to need a per diem.
And we'll have the limo pick you up and we'll have the fluffers and the whole thing.
What is a flight from Green Bay to Milwaukee? I don't know.
You need the rider, man. That's what it's all about.
But it is October 22nd. It's a Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It is called Schmitty's Bar and Grill. It is on 16755 West Lisbon Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. It is open to the public. It is free. We say 7 o'clock, but we say come early, stay late. They got a great deal. Buy a $20 pizza and get a free pitcher or beer. So, you know, a beer or soda, whatever you want, as a Wednesday night special for us. So, and we've got Rocky Wagenhurst who's going to speak to us. And we've got a great group of people. What we've done is we have this educational component, which is like having speakers like Rocky, Michael, and others. We've got someone from SAG coming in either the end of this year or the first quarter of next year to talk about what it means to make your movie SAG and how you can do that. And, but we also have projects that we do. We do collaborative projects. We just did a small commercial for some people that we put together, a funny thing. So it's a very active group. It's a networking group. And I encourage everyone to come on out who can hear this, who sees this. Look us up. We're Mission 1 Billion. It's a private group on Facebook. It's a public group on LinkedIn. But I've told you everything you need to know to be there tomorrow if you're in the Wisconsin area or the Chicago area and you want to come up and join us. Absolutely open to the public for this event, and it's free. We've got Rocky Wagenhurst.
Definitely buy Rocky a pitcher of beer and loosen him up, and he'll tell you all the secrets about show business.
I will tell you everything. And I'll stay until there's nobody left. I love chatting. You
know, that's great.
I don't get to do it that often. So anybody wants to come, I can't wait to see him and talk to him, and I'll tell him everything I know.
Rocky, it's been great meeting you. Rex, great seeing you again, buddy. Good luck with the event tomorrow, guys. Thanks for spending some time with us here, and hopefully we can help you get some butts in the seats.
Can I say one more thing?
Yep.
Actually, Rocky is my guest on Rex Sykes Movie Beat. We recorded an episode. We're launching it now. We didn't want to do it too premature to the event, but so if people want to subscribe, it's free to subscribe to Rex Sykes Movie Beat on Spotify. They can also hear Rocky there.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night and have a lot of fun tomorrow night. Sounds like a blast.
Thank you, Pete.
Rocky Wagenhurst and Rex Sykes, go to the event tomorrow. You going to go, Con? They're not giving you airfare. You got to get yourself there, which is kind of a jip, but whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could make it. But, you know, we'd have to find a different producer in maybe.
No, we got someone lined up. No. No, it sounds like a lot of fun. You already know everything, too. What are you going to learn? I mean, you know your job, but if you went, you'd probably learn like a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah. Hey, we got a Steady Eddie text. Do
I have time to read it? I'm going to go fast. Steady Eddie. Anyone who says a name or word should be pronounced in only one way lacks creativity and imagination. People say two of Albert Einstein's greatest attributes were his imagination and creativity. Ergo, you, Pete, may just be the next Einstein. I agree, Eddie. Thank you, sir. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to all the techs. Thanks to Jimmy Pardo. Have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President J.D. Vance meets with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem in a bid to shore up the peace plan for Gaza and a fragile ceasefire.
Israel, honestly, with our Gulf Arab allies, can play a very positive leadership role in this region, to where, frankly, the United States can care less about the Middle East because our allies in the region are stepping up.
In New York City. Protesters descend on Chinatown as masked ICE agents round up street vendors peddling suspected counterfeits. Mohammed Atiyah with the Street Vendor Project.
They were racially profiling vendors just based on their skin color, based on how they look, based on what language they speak.
More furloughed federal government workers line up at food pantries as the government shutdown enters day number 22.
We don't know when it's going to end, and I need to pay my bills.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.